Oh, so we were discussing this small mission on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. So, truth is, we could just read through the whole Gemara again. It's really not very long. Let's refresh our memories. So, Mishnah said, "Beishamay Amram LaYachem Adam Chamin LaRaglav Elam Ken Reunion LiShtia." So, Beishamay says you can't warm up water for your feet unless they are ra'ui, whatever that means. We'll see in a moment, for drinking. Mitzal Matiren and Mitzal allows it. Osa Adam Medur Mischamim Kenegda, and then somebody says that you are, Mithil says you are allowed to, Mithil Matirin, then Osa Odom Medura Mescham Kenegda, you're allowed to make a bonfire to warm up against it. We saw in the Yerushalmi, the Machlokas, how we read that Lamaskana, whether that means Beis Hillel or even Beis Shammai. Now the Gemara here asks that same question. Nibailu, Hai Medura Man Ketanila. Who is that Divrei Akolhi, Vishanilu, Beishamai, Venhanas, Kalgufala, Nasever Echad? Is it Beishamai? Beishamai allows you to warm up by a bonfire, but not to, but he only doesn't assume that it's enough of a chol nefesh if you're just warming up one limb. Odoma Beis Hill, Ktoni La, or is it Beis Hill? Avo Beishamai, Lo Shani Lahu, but Beishamai does not allow it and makes no distinction between one limb and your whole body. Tashma, Beisham, Roman, Lo Yasa, the Medurim, Ischam, Kenegdo, Beis Hill, Matirim. So last week we dealt with the Doraisa question, which is, okay, on a Doraisa level, why would you say you are allowed to or you're not allowed to warm up water for one limb, for a bath, for a bonfire? What is the nature of the Machlokes, Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai? And we saw three positions. We have the position of the Balei HaTosfos, and the Rashba here in the Chidushim, that the Machlokes is the same Machlokes that we have in the first parak of Mitoch. Right, do we or do we not extend the heter to do malacha from ochel nefesh to non-ochel nefesh activities? Beis Shammai in general holds no, and that is his position here. Beis Hillel says yes, and that is his position here. The Rambam says no, that's not the issue here. The issue here is how do you find ochel nefesh itself? And the Rambam says, as does, and the Radbaz said this as well, and Shitim Bubat said, he said the reason this is different from Mitoch is because this is closer to ochel nefesh. So therefore the Gemara thought that maybe Beis Shammai would include it and say this is ochel nefesh mamish, not even, you don't even need Mitoch, and that's why this is distinct from all the cases in the first parak. Kamash Malan, it's not true that Beis Shammai would asser it. He does not include this within ochel nefesh, but Beis Hillel, who permits it, permits warming up water for your hands, feet, and face, because it is ochel nefesh mamish. Now, for both of these positions, why can't you do a full bath? Because since it is an actual food, we assume that we define ochel nefesh or mitoch in light of shaveh l'chol nefesh. It has to be something that everybody would want, would be equivalent for everybody. And while bathing a single limb, right, your hand, your feet, or your face was considered was shaveh l'chol nefesh, everyone did that. Normal people didn't bathe on a regular basis. We saw last week several important questions that emerged from this. One was just a local question, which is when we say that you can warm up water for your hands, feet, and face, does that mean only your hands, feet, and face, but not other limbs? Or does it just mean any single limb, but you can't bathe? So we saw that is in Machlokas, the Mishnah Berurah quotes two positions on that. Lamaskana Pasukim's like the Rashba, that it is, that it means any single limb, you just can't take a bath. And the most important question, Halacha L'maisa, that we discussed, the most important Halacha L'maisa question we discussed was, does Shavel Chol Nefesh for the purpose of Mitoch change? And now the fact that people bathe on a regular basis, is that considered Shavel Chol Nefesh such that on a Daraisa level should be allowed to take a bath? We saw that many of the Achronim say that you cannot. Rishon Zalman and the Rav both thought that Ochel Nefesh does in fact shift over time, and therefore on a biblical level nowadays you would be allowed to heat up water for a bath. On Yantif, obviously not on Shabbos. The third position that we'd seen was the possibility that they're not arguing about ochel nefesh and arguing about mitoch, they're arguing about ho'il, right? That since based on the lashon of the Mishnah, that ru'uyin l'shtia, it's not that you're planning on drinking it, it's that it could be drunk, so if you paskin that like ho'il, and you think ho'il allows you l'chadchila to cook on Yom Tov, so then, since you could use it, and if someone knocked on your door, you would use that water not for a bath, but for tea, that enough is allowed enough to make it mutter according to Beis Hillel if you paskin like Rava, and if not, not, which is the position of Beis Shammai. So that's what we did last week. I just had a few ha'aros on that before we come back to this Surah sheet. Small points. Okay, one very small point is that we saw that the Rajba in our sugya thinks that the machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is a function of Bitoch rather than Ochel Nefesh Mamish, rather than saying the machlokes is how do you define Ochel Nefesh. Rav Shlomo Zalman notes in Sefer Ma'arayesh that while the Rajba says that in the Chidushim here, he changed his mind in the Avodas HaKodesh, and the Avodas HaKodesh, he paskins like the Rambam. And he says that this machlokes is not about mitoch, it's about ochel nefesh. Assuming mitoch and ochel nefesh are different things, that means he changed his mind. And just his line is explicit. He just says, the reason you're allowed to warm up water for your hands and feet, exactly like the Rambam, is because it's within ochel nefesh. I didn't put this on the source sheet. But that's just to note that position. Okay. The last thing I want to note before we move to the Darabanan level and get to the Lamaisa question is a technical question that Rabbi Kveger asks on this whole sugya, right? And I think we mentioned it last week. I think someone brought it up last week. I think it was you, Howie, right? I think. The Rabbi Kveger in his Tshuva and Tzimin Yud Zayin asked the question. I understand that you say that taking a bath is not Shavu L'chol Nefesh. You aren't allowed to bathe on Yom Tov. It's not Shavu L'chol Nefesh. That's very nice. Except the Gemara says you're allowed to heat up water for your hands and for your face and for your feet. Anybody who's taking a bath is heating up water for their hands, feet, and face, plus their back and their stomach and everything else. Which means that every case of a bath, by definition, unless you take a very strange bath where you don't wash your feet or your hands or your face, is definitionally ribush urim. Right? The assumption of the Gemara is that you can't heat up water for a bath, but you can for your hands. But we know that you're allowed, once you're heating up water beheter, that you're allowed to add extra water to the pot. That's called mamale is kola kiton mayim. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, I just don't get the whole sugya. It doesn't make any sense. Every bath is just ribush urim of washing your hands, and therefore baths should never be a problem, even if you think that a bath is not shavu chol nefesh, because there's literally no situation where you wouldn't be allowed to take a bath. But that's Rabbi Kiva Eger's question. He has no answer to this.
Isn't it the intent, though?
So he has no answers, but other Achorim do have answers. Again, I don't want to, like, it's a pain when you put, like, these long PDFs on it, and retyping it is not worth it. But the svaras that one could suggest are pretty straightforward. So one is exactly what Dilly says, which is, it's very nice to say that it is ribush urim, but it's really not. Because here, fundamentally, ribush urim is, I want to make a cup of tea, so I'm heating up water for tea, and then I throw in extra water for whatever I'm doing, right? But my kavana is tea plus. But when I take a bath, I don't say I'm washing my hands and feet and face and my back and stomach. I say I'm taking a bath, right? Your machshava is totally different. It transforms. It's not kavana for hands plus bath. It's kavana for a bath. And therefore, your kavana shifts it. It's not no longer ribush urim, it's just a totally different bria. So that is one position that's brought up in the Achronim.
So every time somebody makes tea, he's thinking, not thinking about maybe I'll use it for something.
No,
else.
So he is, but he's also, so the assumption is that you're thinking tea and rather than a new bria, right? That's some of the Achronim. I mean, basically you have three days that I found in the Achronim. This one I think was So this is what Tilly said is Rav Shlomo Zalman in Ma'arei'esh, in that same piece of Ma'arei'esh, where he writes like this. He says, "Ofiza nicha shapir de gam hanaz rachitzas yadayim v'raglayim al yidei rachitzas kol aguf bichi haygavna." Right, washing your hands and feet in the context of a bath have a kvar hana acheres. It's just a different hana. V'hana kazu lav shavul chol nefeshi. And that, a bath, is not shavu chol nefesh, right? Once you're taking it in the context of a bath. But what he's really saying is, what the Gemara is telling you, you're allowed to wash your hands, because everybody washes their hands. But not everybody takes a bath every day. So if you're just washing, if it's your, if, right, what he's saying is, if I was warming up my hand, you know, my hands are dirty. I need to wash my hands. I heave the water from my hands, and then I decide, hey, you know what? As long as I'm washing my hands, I'm going to throw in water. Presumably, that would be mutter, right, on Doraisa level. It's just that I couldn't lechatchila say I'm going to take a bath, right? That's where Rosh Shlomo Zalman takes it.
Take a Hillel position and say, because I may have to clean my wash my hands and my hands.
Right. If you took Hillel, then you would have no solution to this, right? If you think Hillel is mutter, not just yes. Another position brought up in the Achronim
is that based on the position that it is ochel nefesh, it's under the category of ochel nefesh to take a bath?
No, it's under mitoch, right? It's under mitoch.
Okay, but under the mitoch, then it had to be ru'i l'shtia, which means the bath issue should not be an issue at all. In other words,
it's not within the ho'el issue, it's in the mitoch.
Right, so if it's mitoch,
right, and he's saying that, but mitoch only does it if you're only extends to shovel chol nefesh. But a bath transforms even the washing of your hands and feet into non-mitoch. I mean, he's assuming not like the position of ho'il. I mean, ho'il, as we saw in ho'il either means that you don't get malchus or it means it's mutter. Most of the poskim assume that ho'il means it's usser, you just don't get malchus. So therefore, that doesn't help you. It has to be that you're actually having kavana for something which is mutter for either mitoch or ochel nefesh. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, once you plan to have a bath, so it's no longer called washing your hands, it's called taking a bath, and therefore it's not a mitoch, it's all aser. You wouldn't get malchus, presumably, because of ho'il. But that doesn't make it mutter.
Okay, so I'm lost on something. On the mitoch, when we did this for last week regarding mitoch, okay, you have Beit Shammai that says it was ru'i l'shtia, where you actually had to drink it.
So the Beit Shammai, as it's explicit in the Rishalmi, not here, but it's obvious here, says you actually need to be heating up for tea.
You actually have to drink some of it.
Right.
Beit Hillel, according to one opinion, in the mitoch,
says you,
it had to be ru'i l'shtia, but you don't actually have to drink it.
Correct. You don't have to. Right.
But there's still a concept that it has to be.
Well, maybe. But in the end, it doesn't seem like he needs ru'i l'shtia at all. Right, it sounds more like, right, in the end, the way the Rishonim assume is that, no, Beis Hillel is saying, Ru'in L'shtia comes in from Beis Shammai, even if it's Ru'in L'shtia, right?
So if it was non-potable water, in other words, something that you have absolutely no possibility...
According to Beis Hillel, it would still be mutter.
It would still be, okay.
Right. The halacha, probably according to Beis Hillel, would still be mutter. Okay, so that's Rishon Zalman's first possibility. Another possibility is that maybe ribui shiurim only works for ochel nefesh mamish and not mitoch, right? Because mitoch, we raise the possibility. It could be that mitoch is just another way of saying ochel nefesh, or it could be that our sugya isn't about mitoch, it's about ochel nefesh mamish. But if you think that mitoch is not the same as ochel nefesh, then what does that mean? Mitoch is an extension of ochel nefesh. So another possibility raised by the Achronim is ribui shiurim works for ochel nefesh, because you're taking ochel nefesh mamish and then you're adding to it. But mitoch, which is already an extension, you can't do ribui shiurim on mitoch. Because, right? What? It's, you only get one extension from ochel nefesh, either through ribui shiurim or through mitoch. But you can't do ribui shiurim on mitoch because you're two stages away from ochel nefesh. Now that makes a lot of assumptions, right? That assumes that mitoch is distinct from ochel nefesh, and you assume that this case is mitoch, which is not the Rambam, and not the Rashba in the Avodah Zakodesh, it's the Rashba here. But be that as it may, that's the second day in the Achronim. The way to solve this problem is just to say, this is mitoch and not ochel nefesh, which would be a nafkamina. This is the second possibility that Rosh Shlomo Zalman raises, but he notes, obviously this only works if you think that this sugya is about mitoch. If you think it's not about mitoch, it's about ochel nefesh mamish, then that isn't possible, because we are dealing with ochel nefesh, in which case you need to come up with something else. Okay. Right, so in general, this discussion, yes, it's like 4 or 5 pages in Moreh-Esh. It's like pages 16 to 20, 21, something like that. There's also a discussion of it in the Minchat Ariel on Shabbos Lamentes Amud Beis. Okay. And he's the one who he favors the second answer of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, that there is no mitoch. There is no ribui shiurim on mitoch. Okay, none of that I put on the source sheet just because these PDFs are unwieldy. Okay, So that was all the Daraisa. But that brought us to the Halacha Maisa questions, which is, okay, fine. Let's assume that what's going on, let's assume that we could solve the Daraisa problem. There's still a potential Dirabanan problem, which is that on Shabbos, it's usur to heat up water. But let's say you would heat up water on Erev Shabbos. Are you allowed to take a bath on Shabbos? The answer is no. It's what we call Gzeres Habalanin, right? That the, as we'll see in a moment in number 14, the Chazal forbade taking a bath on Shabbos, even with water heated up before Shabbos, because, as is inevitable, in public bathhouses, people were not in control of the water themselves. They paid the person at the bathhouse. And people who were being paid, if it turned out that they didn't heat up the water on Erev Shabbos, and they knew people were coming to take a bath and were going to leave their, you know, money in advance or pay after Shabbos to take their bath on Shabbos, they were going to light that fire on Shabbos and heat up the water. So as soon as they saw that people were violating, you know, Bishul B'Shabbos, or even if it was non-Jews, you were having a problem of Maisa Shabbos, Hanam Lachas Goy, and the like, right? They forbade taking a bath on Shabbos. That's called Gzeres Habalonin. And the question was, does that extend to Yom Tov? Because if it does, then even if you could solve the Shavuot Chol Nefesh problem, meaning even if you paskin like Tosfos, that the way Tosfos understands that a bath is not Shavuot Chol Nefesh, but washing your hands and feet are, and then you paskin like Rosh Hashanah Zalman, that Bizman Hazeh, possibly taking a bath is Shavuot Chol Nefesh, or at least when you're dirty, it's Shavuot Chol Nefesh, or at least when you haven't taken a bath in a while, it's Shavuot Chol Nefesh, so then it would be mutter to take a bath, unless you think Zeres Habalanin kicks in which case you couldn't take a bath, just like you couldn't on Shabbos. So let's look at the Gemara in 14. So the Gemara in 14 in Shabbos says as follows: Da Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara. B'tchila Yerochtan Becham and Shochum Be'er Shabbos. Originally, people used to take baths with water that was heated on Friday. But Ischila Habalanin Lahachim B'Shabbos. But then the people who own the bathhouses started cooking the water on Shabbos itself. Va'omrim erev Shabbos chokhmo, and they would tell you, no, it was Friday. We heated it up on Friday. Asru es hachamin ve'tiru es hazeya. So Chazal said, okay, that's it. No more baths. Now we're going to have to see. There's two possibilities. What? A schwitz, a sauna. Right? Tiru es hazeya, but they allowed people to continue to go to the sauna on Shabbos. We're going to see, though, that there is two ways of reading this Gemara. When it says Asru es hachamen, there's two ways of reading that. Either they forbade baths, or they forbade, hot water baths, right? That for sure. Or they forbade baths at a bathhouse, right? Meaning, it's not clear from the Gemara which they forbade, whether Gzeres Habalanin, right?
A private bath.
Exactly. And we'll see that the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch will actually take the more lenient position, which will come out, obviously, a kula in showering in your own house, as opposed to the Ashkenazi position, which is not like that. But we'll keep that in mind. So then the Gemara tells you, okay, so they forbade baths, at least in bathhouses, but they allowed the sauna. V'adayin ayroch sen b'chamen. V'omrim mazir anachnu. But then you had a secondary problem, which was people would go to the bathhouse on Shabbos, and everyone would say, how can you go to the bathhouse? There's Gzeres Habalanin, and you aren't allowed to take a bath on Shabbos. So they said, I'm not taking a bath, I'm going to the sauna, right? I'm going to the sauna. V'omrim mazir anachnu. So Asr l'nezazeya, so Chazal had no choice. They forbade going to the sauna so that people couldn't go to the, right? Because if you can't go to the bathhouse and can't go to the sauna, then you're not going to go to the bathhouse. If you have an excuse, now what would happen if the bathhouses were, you know, had other things there? I don't know. But okay, this was the reality. Had bath and saunas. Ve'etiru chamik Tveria. But they allowed you, if you wanted to take a bath in the hot springs of Tveria. Or you want to go to the natural hot springs, Guzun Tehet. But then what happened? People would take baths in water heated up on Shabbos, and they would say, what do you mean? It's not water heated up on Shabbos. It's water that I took a pipe, and I, redirected the hot springs of Tveria. So they forbade taking a hot bath with water, with naturally hot water, and they allowed cold baths. But they saw that people couldn't handle that, because people like going to the hot springs. So they backtracked on that, and they said, no, you can, fine, you want to take a bath in the hot springs, go ahead and take a bath in the hot springs, but you still can't go to the sauna. That was the psak. Fine. So now the question is, I ask you, without, right, having any source yet, should this or should this not be usher on Yom Tov? So, what do you think? Should it be usher on Yom Tov, right? Should Gzeres HaBalonin apply on Yom Tov or not?
Why would it? If May Tiferia is permissible because it's naturally heated, then if you're allowed to heat water on Yom Tov, so why would it be usher?
Right, so on the one hand, you'd say, big deal, right? Meaning, even if you can't heat up water for a bath on Yom Tov, right? You can heat up water on Yom Tov, right? There are ways you can come up with heating up water on Yom Tov beheter. I mean, all you need to do is make a cup of tea, right? And then add water to the pot, right? And use it for a bath, right? Big deal, right? So on Yom Tov, the biggest obstacle to taking a bath on Yom Tov doesn't really exist. I mean, yes, we paskin, you aren't allowed to cook, right, in the time of the Mishnah, you couldn't cook water just for your bath, but come up with something else. And kal v'chomer b'zman hazeh, you accept Rosh Hashanah Zalman and the Rav, that taking a bath is itself davar hashav l'chol nefesh, that means, why would you ever have gzeres habalanin? It makes no sense. There's no iser to heat up the water, right? If you think that hashav l'chol nefesh changed, then you really have no problem. Cooking the water is fine. So what's the worst that'll happen? They won't cook the water on Erev Shabbos. They'll cook the water on Shabbos. Okay, they'll cook the water on Shabbos. On Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, big deal. They'll cook it on Yom Tov. It's mutter to cook it on Yom Tov, so you shouldn't have gzeres habalanin. So that was the position of the Gaonim. So if you look in 15, the Rif cites from the Gaonim. Le'inin rechitza b'yom tov b'chamen shochma merav yom tov. Let's say you have water that was heated up before Yom Tov, right? At least in the time of the Mishnah, we already saw you can't heat up water on Yom Tov itself. But let's say you had water on Erev Yom Tov. So what's the halacha? So chazin lagon de kasav hachi da hid amin lagir chatzadam kol gufu b'shabbos b'chamen shochma merav shabbos davka b'shabbos. He said the gzeres habalonin that you have to worry and say, I can't take a bath, even with water heated up on Friday, on Shabbos, because people might heat the water on Shabbos. That's Shabbos. I will be Yom Tov shari lechotz kol gufo b'cham en shoch mo merav Yom Tov. But on Yom Tov, it's mutter to take a bath from water that was heated up before Yom Tov. The lav davar shchayam lav mishum shvus, v'lo mishum rishus, v'lo mishum mitzvahi, el gzeira hi v'chigazur b'shabbos lav Yom Tov lo. Because the gzeira is only on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. Because we can list a million reasons. Yom Tov is more makil than Shabbos in general, right? Yom Tov is only an Isser Lav and not an Isser Skila. And on Yom Tov, you're allowed to heat up the water. You're not allowed to heat it up for a bath, but there are ways of heating up the water beheter. And it's possible, as we saw according to some poskim, that one day, possibly Bizman Hazeh, heating up water for a bath itself will be Shavuot Chol Nefesh, and there'll be no problem. So the Gaonim just said, fine. Right? Or the Gaon. Right? Chazinam Ligaon. So the Rif quotes him. He says, yeah, the Gzeres HaBalanin doesn't apply in Yom Tov. So, why aren't you allowed to take a bath in Yom Tov? Or a shower on Yom Tov? So, in the time of the Mishnah, you can't do it because it's not Davar HaShavah L'Chol Nefesh. But nowadays, if it is Shavah L'Chol Nefesh, and there's no Gzeres HaBalanin, there's no Derabbanan against taking a shower, then the answer is, it is Mutter L'Chadchila to take a shower on Yom Tov. That is what Yotze, if you combine the position of the Gaon, plus the notion that Shavuot Chol Nefesh changes, so nowadays you're allowed to take a bath. End of story.
But it still depends on how you heat up the water.
Well, no. I mean, if you take the position of Rosh Shlomo Zalman or the Rav, so nowadays Shavuot Chol Nefesh changed, and it's a normal thing to take a bath. So you're allowed to heat it up l'chatchila, right? If you don't take that position, you can at least do what people in Israel do all the time, which is right. It's easier in Israel just because. Right, either you use the Dud Shemesh, right, which wouldn't be Dorais, and maybe that'd be Mutter, or, right, in Israel I think it's more common, because here it's a bit dangerous, right, if you shut off the valve going into your hot water boiler, you run the risk of running out of water, and then there being a fire with no water, which is dangerous, so people do it less often here. In Israel, if your water is heated up from the Dud Shemesh anyways, there's not a big deal to turn off the valve, right, because in the summer in Israel, you don't use a fire at all to heat up water. You just use the solar panels or the Dud Shemesh. So if you turn off the valve into the thing,
you're not using water.
Right, all the water is from Erev Shabbos anyway. It's from Erev Yom Tov anyways. Right. So for sure, it would be mutter to take a bath of water heated up Erev Yom Tov. And if you paskin like Rosh Shlomo Zalman to the Rav, right, that at least sometimes, or maybe according to the Rav, always, you could heat up the water on Yom Tov itself, and you could take a shower, and that would be it. That would be what would be Yotze, if you think Shavuot Chol Nefesh changes, and the Gzeres HaBalanin doesn't apply in Yom Tov, it would be Mutter L'Chadchila, and that would be based on the Rif, or the Rif quoting the Gaon. However, other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say that Xeris Habalonim, the prohibition, the Dirabonin against taking a bath on Yom Tov, is the same as the prohibition on Shabbos. So you look at the Ritva in 16 says, Elm kin ruin lishtia perish. Vusha shosim mehem, dushim delasum mitoch, shotra avar l'tzorcha chol nefesh, shotra l'tzorcha nasa guf, shudavar shal chol nefesh. Right, that explains what we saw before. Miu, lahachem chamin l'chol gufo asr, afu bi shavach chol nefesh, but you're not allowed to heat up water for your whole body, even if it's shavach chol nefesh, right? Even if it would one day be shavach chol nefesh, it would be asr. Tegazru bo mishum merchatz. Because there's the prohibition of merchatz sheish kam alachos asuros kedisa b'shabbos ki rabbi kain perish haritva. Because there are still things which are aser. He doesn't explain what's aser. But if you look at the Ramban, I don't want to give you the whole thing. But if you look at the Ramban in Shabbos in Lamed Tesam and Beis, he has a long discussion. He says because even though it's not aser to heat up the water if it's shavach chol nefesh, still there's all types of things that happen when you take a bath, right? That make it roi to extend, such as you know shchita, such as mimareach, right? If you have bar soap, right? Bar soap is an iser daraisa on Shabbos or Yom Tov, right? It's mimareach because you're smoothing out the solid, and shchita, okay, ain shchita v'sei are fine, but if you use a towel to wash yourself and you squeeze out, you wring out the water, so that would be shchita, right? There's all types of malachos. The Ramban says, even though the main problem of Bishul is potentially not a problem on Yom Tov, since there are potential problems, so they just wrap Shabbos and Yom Tov altogether, and they made it Asar and Yom Tov as well. You could have just said that Gazur Yom Tov Atu Shabbos, or, you know, Shabbos Yom Tov Kula Chadag Zerehi, or something like that. But basically, the Ritva, the Ramban, they all just say, yeah, even though the main problem on Yom Tov is not nearly as egregious, it's still aser on Yom Tov, just like it is on Shabbos.
If that's a problem, shchita and all that would be a problem, just doing your arms and legs.
No, correct. The Ramban is saying, it's not, what the Ramban says is that it's not that if the only iser we had, the only concern we had was mareach and shchita, we would have invented a gzera for that reason. Is that once we have the gzera for Shabbos, and there's some reason to be goes around Yom Tov, so we extend the Xer from Shabbos to Yom Tov, right? It's like a halfway svara, right? He's not saying, it's clear in the Gemara, the reason we were gozer, that you can't take a bath on Shabbos, even with water heated up at Shabbos, is because of the concern that they were heating up the water in the bathhouse on Shabbos, right? Not because we were concerned that you were going to use a sponge, right, while you were taking a bath. The Ramban's point is that once you've already made the Gzeir for Shabbos, the only question is, does it make any sense to extend it to Yom Tov? So he just says, well, there are potential problems on Yom Tov. So, normally, I mean, the normal rule is we don't distinguish between Shabbos and Yom Tov unless we have a compelling reason to distinguish. The Ramban says, once you have some sort of half svara of why Yom Tov should also be a problem, so we wrap it all together with Shabbos. Not that we make a new Gzeira, it's just that we swallow it all up in Gzeiras HaBalanin. You could have just said, very simply, in general, we don't distinguish between Shabbos and Yom Tov, so even though it makes no sense on Yom Tov, it doesn't matter, we're Gozer and Shabbos and Yom Tov together, right? You could have said something like that.
Basically, Rishon, he appears to be saying it's a Beit Merachatz. He was concerned about working Beit Merachatz, which means that he's holding that the Gzeira is for a Beit Merachatz.
So,
we'll get there.
So, as we'll see, that is a machlok as we showed him. Okay. Now, we noted last week that, ironically, right, if you think that our sugya is primarily concerned with the d'oraisa question, but paskins that gzeres habalanim is not an issue, so then, bizman hazeh, if you think that ochel nefesh can change, not ochel nefesh can change, if you think that shavel ochel nefesh can change, then showering would be mutter, because gzeres habalanim was never a problem. The only problem was the Daraisa problem, and once the Daraisa problem falls away, there was no Darabanan problem to begin with. But if you think that no, the problem in the primary problem here is the Darabanan problem, or the Darabanan problem also exists, right? Ironically, the Darabanan problem is going to create bigger problems than the Daraisa, because Gzeiras HaBalanin is not subject to change because our general rule by all Darabanans is Kol Davar Shebe Minyan Tzarech Minyan Achra L'Hatiro. So even if the Metzios would change, it wouldn't make any difference, because it would be formally Asar on Yom Tov, just like it was on Shabbos. But Ray Jachter notes in 17, I don't have to read it inside, but he just notes that, ironically, the Daraisa of showering on Yom Tov is much easier to solve than the Darabanan. The secondary question of Gzeiras HaBalanin is a much more difficult question to get out of. So, can we get out of the question of Gzeiras HaBalanin? So, instead of just giving all the Rishonim, I just gave you the Shulchan Aruch, where you have the machlokas. So the so this is Shulchan Aruch in number 18, to Tavkof Yud Aleph. So he says Sif Aleph. Mutter lasos medur leschamim kenegda. Right. So this is the second half of our Mishnah. You're allowed to make, we pass like Basil, you're allowed to make a bonfire fireplace on Yom Tov. Fine. The Yeshurim the Asr Lahakam base Hachorev be Yom Tov, Dilfamim Aina Korgadov, Aino Elam Lufunakim, Vavi Kemerchats Mugmar da Asr Vinagulahakel. And the Rama says some people said that our base Hachorev. So base Hachorev was the Beis HaChoref was, if I remember this correctly from my modern Jewish history classes, was the houses in Russia were not insulated so well, and it's very hard to insulate the whole house. So what you did was you had one room in the house where you had a fireplace going, and that was where people could be warm, right? So either you wrapped yourself in blankets in the rest of the house, or everyone moved into, I don't know, the living room or whatever it was
kitchen,
during the
kitchen.
The kitchen.
Kitchen.
The kitchen?
Yeah,
the kitchen.
Yeah,
of course, the kitchen. I'm saying. The kitchen.
Yeah, stove. That's where everybody
right
got.
By the stove.
The yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Rama says that some people say that for some reason, something about the Beis HaChoref, at least when it's not totally freezing, right, is not Shavah L'chol Nefesh. Because I understand it's, you know, negative 35 degrees Fahrenheit in, you know, in Russia, or negative 50 or whatever it is in Russia, so I understand that's Shavah L'chol Nefesh, right? But sometimes, once you're in the mood of having your fireplace, you put the fireplace when it's, I don't know, right, when it's 10 degrees Celsius, right? Yeah, well, you know,
probably,
it's the season.
Probably suggested that people didn't live very long, because as people get older, you need more weed. Heat and stuff like that. Just saying, you know.
Yeah, so the Rama says, so some people said that you can't actually use the Beis HaChoref, at least when it's not too cold, because it's only l'mefunakim, but he says the minhag is to mimekel. Or the minhag goes to mimekel and says, no, a fireplace is a fireplace, is a fireplace, people like to be warm, right? Fine. Okay. By the way, I should just note, this should be obvious, but the Yachornim all make a note of this. Shavah Chol Nefesh is only a question when we're not actually dealing with food. Right, food itself does not have to be shavah chol nefesh. It is ochel nefesh mamish. Ochel nefesh mamish doesn't need shavah chol nefesh. Shavah chol nefesh is only when we're dealing with extensions. Right? Okay. The Achron make a big deal of this, but it should be somewhat intuitive, because the whole point of shavah chol nefesh is to make non ochel nefesh things into ochel nefesh. If it is ochel nefesh, it doesn't need to turn into ochel nefesh. It is ochel nefesh. So you don't need any heterim. Right? Okay. Close parentheses there. We'll see the Gemara that's actually based on later. Fine. That's the Rama. But then, second halacha. So he says, Mutu lahachem yom tov mayim lirchoz yadav avalo kol kufo. Shulchan Aruch says, you're allowed to heat up water for your hands, but not for your whole body. Afilu in aroch tov zachas. And this is true even if you bathe aver aver, right? You don't take a shower, you don't take a bath, you heat up water, you heat up your arm, then you heat up your other arm, then you heat up your neck, then you heat up your stomach, right? Meaning you take a sponge bath, right? A sponge bath is also usur. Or whatever. The Rama says, Aval Mutter Lirchotz Tinok Bimaim Shehochmu Al Yidei Yisrael Biyom Tov. But you're allowed to heat up water to bathe a child. Aval Asr Lachamim Litzarcho Afil Yidein Yehudi. But you can't heat it up for yourself. Okay. Aval Kitzarach Lahem Lavashel Hadiach. But if you need the water.
So you have the problem of oil when it comes to washing a Tinok, right?
Correct.
In some ways.
Well, when it was a baby, we let you do it.
You had a baby, so there's some extra water, so maybe I can use that.
Correct, you could do it, I mean, possibly. If you think, well, depends what you think about the Reba Shurim question.
Right.
If you think like Shmuel Zalman, then no, because that would be Mutter B'Shem
B'Telchon.
Right. When you need them to cook, then obviously you can use it for yourself. V'din chame tveria b'kemo b'shabas. K'di isa simen shin chavav. Fine. Avol b'mayim shoch m'erev yom tov. And now this is the but he says, but water that was heated up on erev yom tov muter lirchotz kol gufo afilu ke'echad miudafka chutz l'merchatz avol b'merchatz aser. Now this is, I know this is not clear in the when you copy it from Bar Ilan because they don't distinguish font. This is the Shulchan Aruch talking again, right? Water that was heated up on erev yantif, you can bathe as long as it's out of the bathhouse. But in the bathhouse, it's aser. So the Shulchan Aruch takes the middle position, which is that Gzeres HaBalanin does apply on Yom Tov, just like Shabbos, but Gzeiras HaBalanin is limited to public shower houses and was never, even on Shabbos, a problem in your own house. A private shower is mutter, and therefore, Bizman Hazeh, according to Shulchan Aruch, if you pask in the heating of water, Shavel Chol Nefesh, so then you are allowed to take a bath in your house. You just can't take a bath at whatever the equivalent of a public bath is, right? You can't go to the gym and take a bath at the, you know, if you count that as a shower house. I don't know if that would count as a shower house, but let's assume it would count as a shower house, right? It's a public bath house. Fine, right? The mikvah would be a potential problem, and we'll come back to the mikvah thing in a moment. But your private shower would be mutter. So if you pask and Shavuot Chol Nefesh changed, it would be mutter to just take it straight. If you think that Shavuot Chol Nefesh doesn't change, so then as long as you turn off the valve going into the hot water tank, then it would be mutter to shower on Yom Tov, and that would be the end of the story, right? Shulchan Aruch paskins the Gzeiras HaBalanin. Now this position is, by the way, the position of the Rambam. Right, the Rambam holds that Gzeiras HaBalanin is limited to public shower houses, never applies in a private bath, and therefore, Bizman Hazeh, presumably, would be mutter to take a bath, assuming you think Shavuot Chol Nefesh changes, which, as we saw, is a machlokes itself.
On Yom Tov.
But on Shabbos, it would be presumed, right, on Shabbos, if you turned off the water, right? If you filled it up with hot water before you took and you turned off the water, then in your private one it'd also be mutter, according, right? Because the Gzeiras HaBalanin is only public, and then exactly.
And what
right?
if somebody non-Jewish for themselves?
All those I get. Well, on Shabbos I'm not sure. Shaman Shochum, maybe that'd be mutter too, according to
him. His water afterwards.
No, or he just turned. He came to your house, uses a right. bath in your house, and after he finishes the bath, you turn off the valve into the hot water tank. So right. whatever's there is there,
right? Okay,
right? You know, or something like in ours, it's hard because the water's actually on a fire, right? You know, right? Because even when you're doing something by moving it, right? The water on top will move closer to the fire, right? But if you could turn off the fire, if the fire was off and whatever you would do, I don't know. Or if you have solar panels or something, it would be mutter, right? You could come up with some situation where it would be mutter.
Okay, we're talking about a bath. Okay, but you have the Shabbos dishwashers that are warming up the water based on a timer on Shabbat. So based on all this...
I don't want to get into that question. That's a big machlokas. Maybe another time. But, right, meaning an interesting question, right? If you think you're allowed to set something to heat water on Shabbos, which is not at all pashut, right? But if you paskin that you could, right?
Then you should be able to have the bath on Shabbos.
Possibly, according to the Rambam, right? If you paskin that.
Not according to the Rambam.
Right. But the Rama then says, and this is the position of the Tur, no, the Yeshos from Becholinyan, Vechenahagin. The Ashkenazi Rishonim say no. Right, Gzeiras HaBalanin means you aren't allowed to take a shower or bath on Yom Tov, on Shabbos or Yom Tov, whether it's in a public bathhouse or it's in your house. Right. So again, to summarize the positions, right, Gzeiras HaBalanin, you have the possibility that it's usher on Shabbos and Yom Tov in a private bathhouse or in a public bathhouse or your house, which is the position of the Rama following the Tur and the Rush. You have the position of the Gaon in the Rif, that on Yom Tov there is no such thing as Gzeiras HaBalanin at all. And you have then the position of the Rambam, which is there is such a thing as Gzeiras HaBalanin, but Gzeiras HaBalanin to begin with is limited to public bathhouses and not to private showers. And therefore on Yom Tov, if you could solve the Shavuot Chol Nefesh problem, you would be allowed to lechatchila take a shower in your house on Yom Tov. That is what would be Yotze. Fine. Now, okay, let's just look at the Mishnah Berurahs here, and then we'll trace it to how people actually paskin. Now we have all the factors are now in play, right? And now we can understand the psak that people come up with. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah, I just put a few of them that are important to clarify. So he says, first of all, filin aroch so bavas achas el ever ever de b'mayim tochmum b'yom tov aser lirchotz b'chol gavne. So water that was heated up on Yom Tov itself, it will be aser, right? So that Oh, right, no, sorry. You can never take up a bath of water that's heated up on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's part of the Gzeira. Or the assumption is if it's heated up on Yom Tov, Shabbos itself, that is Aser. That's the way the Mishnah Berurah understands it. Fine. Aval Mutter v'chulei, al yidei Yisrael b'Yom Tov, perish. Kigon sha'aper v'chimmo, shehuchel metzorach shtia. If you did heat it up, you heat it up for drinking. Upon the raglov, dishari, ulegodol. Aser abachi egavne lirchotz, b'yom tov afler matirin rechita b'cham and jochma rav yom tov kem shakol panim hufim b'yom tov. Right, okay, so sorry, there is no way of doing it on yom tov itself. The way the poskim paskin is that if it's heated up on yom tov itself, if you assume gzeiras habalon and applies on yom tov, then you can't use water heated on yom tov itself because gzeiras habalon will forbid that
even in your own house.
Even in not according to the Rambam, but according to these post-game.
Right.
I think. So the Kevin Jal won a Hochma Yom Tov, Lakatan, Mutter, Dahin Revise, Logos Rubov, Rakhtan, they didn't. Vidafu, Bakatan, Shirin, Roch, Sobachal Yom, but this is only for a child that you do bathe every day. Azam, Rin, Hainu Revise, have a culture again, Shalolorach, Shayim, Vashlosh, Yamim, Azlav, Hainu Revise, Vals. He just clarifies that the Heterim, the special Heterim for babies, are babies that need to be bathed every day. If you don't bathe them every day anyways, you can't bathe them suddenly on Yom Tov. Right? The special Heter for babies. Okay, nowadays, I don't think this is, people. There's all types of reasons we make Ilbiz Manhazeh, and whatever. What people do with their kids changes all the time. But fine, if you need to bathe them every day, then you're allowed to. If you don't, then don't choose your day to be Yom Tov. Afili de Akum, he says, Delakama poskumu isher da raisis or chizis kalaguf in a shovachal nefesh, right? De Akum hu shvus, afili das a sovrim do isher da rabban, akabon me shvus to shvus, me makum cholik tzas ish lahatir. So he says, even if the water is heated up by a non-Jew, you can't do it, because he says, it might be anal shovachal nefesh. If it's anal shovachal nefesh, then you're asking a guy to do an isher da raisis, and it'll be aser. But if it's a sorech, then he says it's mutter. Me'erev Yom Tov Mutter, after b'Shabbos Aser, af Eiver Eiver, said even though on Shabbos itself it's Aser, because you can't call Gufu Gechad, is a b'Shabbos Shin Chavav, b'Yom Tov Kiltei. But he says on Yom Tov, it is more Mekil than Shabbos, right? So in theory, you could have been Mekil on Shabbos, but he says no one's actually going to be Mekil on Shabbos itself. On Yom Tov, the only question is on Yom Tov, are you going to be Mekil if you are Mekil for Xeris of Alanim? But on Shabbos, you would never be Mekil in that way. And on Shabbos, even Aver Aver is going to be Aser. Aser, the Aser Chacham Rechitza B'merchad Mishum Gzeres HaBalan Shum Zalzalim B'zeh Lassus B'Iser K'mavur B'Shabbos Daf Mem. The Yesh Osrim B'chol Inyon, and now he explains the position of the Ramad. The Sphere Leid Ein Chiluk Ben Shabbos L'Yom Tov. He says there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Aser Rechitza B'Yom Tov K'mo B'Shabbos. But then he says, V'dafka Kol Gufo. But he says, even the Ramah, and this is important, says even the Rama, he thinks, only forbids on Yom Tov a full bath. Aval Eiver Eiver Lekule Alma Mutter Lirchotz. But he says even though on Shabbos we include in the Xeres Merchatz the taking a sponge bath or a limb by limb shower, on Yom Tov the Mishnah Berurah thinks everyone would think that that's mutter if the water was heated up before Yom Tov. Vafil Lishtate Faosan Chamin also de Azu. Mili Nantino, Gamli Didemi Klin Biyomtov, Yosem Bishabas, and Mutal Rachsa, Afil Bacham and Chokhmo Biyomtov, Vichanal. But for a child, you could even heat up the water on Yomtov, or you could use water that was heated up on Yomtov, the culture came Bacham and Chokhmo Rav Yomtov. Fine. Back to the kid case. So what comes out, according to Mr. Burr, is as follows. According to water that was heated up on Yomtov itself, he thinks, at least in the olden days, when it wasn't Shavuot Chol Nefesh, is going to be usher to take a bath, even if you heat it up beheter, because then Gzeiras HaBalanan will apply, right? But if water was heated up before Yom Tov, so then, according to the Rambam, the way Shulchan Aruch paskens, you could take a bath, because Gzeiras HaBalanan doesn't apply. According to the Ramah, piling the Torah and the Rosh, you wouldn't be allowed to take a bath, even with water heated up before Yom Tov, because Gzeiras HaBalanan does apply in full force. But not really in full force, because the Mishnah Berurah thinks that even the Ramah would be modem, that on Yom Tov uniquely, water heated up before Yom Tov will be mutter to take a limb-by-limb rinsing sponge bath, just not a full shower. So, to figure out how we would paskin halachically, right now if we put all the factors together, right? So again.
Can I backtrack one second?
Yeah.
Okay, why on Erev Yontif will we even allow it? Because the whole Gzera Balonim, I mean, they made a Gzera on the sauna as well, because we don't trust people.
Right, and the Gzera Balonim is, right, we're...
So why would we trust someone to warm up water Erev Yontif? Why wouldn't we believe that he actually warmed it up on Yontif?
So the way that, so the way the Mishnah Berurah understands it is that we think, well, according to the Rambam, the Gzeres HaBalanin, the Iker Gzeres HaBalanin only applies in a public bathhouse.
Right.
In your in a private shower, it doesn't apply. Nevertheless, heating up water on Yom Tov itself is too domeh. The way the Mishnah Berurah understands it, even for the Rambam, is too domeh. Right? It's too similar to the problem of Gzeres HaBalanin. So if it was heated up on Yom Tov, even Beheter, right? It was, you know, left over from your tea.
Right.
It's Aser, because it's too much like Gzeres HaBalanin. Right, that's the way the Mishnah Berurah understands
it. Which I understand, but if you're saying that...
No, but according to the Rambam, it's not. The Rambam, according to the Rambam, we only don't trust you.
Gzera even more. He wants to say...
No, I understand, but according to the Rambam, we're never worried in your private bath. Right? The whole Gzera Sabalana was a public bathhouse. It's just that if the water is heated up on Yom Tov, so then we include it within Gzera Sabalana, but we never distrusted you in your private house. It was just a extended Gzera from the bathhouse. That's why it'd be mutter. So a private shower with water heated up before Yom Tov, according to the Rambam, would be mutter. Now, if you think, though, that Shavu'ot Chol Nefesh changes, that means that heating up the water on Yom Tov explicitly for your bath is mutter, so then according to the Rambam, you've combined those two factors, right? Because the only reason you would aser taking a shower, according to the Rambam, in your private house on Yom Tov is if you think that heating up water for the bath itself is usur, and you're only allowed to use leftover water from your tea. But if you think that Shavu'ot Chol Nefesh changes, and you're allowed to cook water, and you think that you're allowed to shower privately with water cooked Erev Yom Tov, once you say it's mutter to cook water midaraisa for your bath on Yom Tov, you should be allowed, according to the Rambam, right, this cheshbon is a little bit complicated, but you should be able to bathe in your house privately, lechatchila, on Yom Tov bisman hazeh, right? That would come out according to the Rambam, right? According to the Ramah, following the Chachmei Ashkenaz would be Aser, right? Because Gzeres HaBalanin forbids taking a full bath on Yom Tov, but the Mishnah Berurah qualifies that even according to the Ramah, taking a, right, like a rinse bath, right, where you don't step under the flow of water, but you stand outside the flow of water and stick in one hand, stick in your other hand, walk in for a second, walk out, turn around, you know, walk in with your back, right, that would be mutter, according to the Mishnah Berurah, even according to the even according to the Ramah on Yom Tov. Okay, so how do we paskin? So let's start with Sfardi Psach, because that's a bit easier. So according to Sfardim, right, if you paskin Shavu'ot Chol Nefesh has changed, and you paskin like the Rambam, that it's only a problem in a public bathhouse, the Svara should be that you're allowed to shower on Yom Tov, lechatchila, and that's all there is to it. That is how the Yalkut Yosef, right, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, Hoskins first started him, that if you take a bath or a shower in your house on Yom Tov, it is mutter. Because Gzeres HaBalanin only applies in a Beis HaMerchatz, not in your private house. And therefore, nowadays, that heating up water is mutter, right? Because it used to be you couldn't use water that was heated up on Yom Tov itself, because that's too doma to the Merchatz. But nowadays, the Shavu'ot Chol Nefesh has changed, so then heating up the water is mutter, and Gzeres Merchatz doesn't apply in your house, and therefore it's mutter to shower on Yom Tov. So that's how the Yalkut Yosef paskins for Sfardim. Fine. Okay. And he says, and even though, he just notes, right, even though theoretically when you shower, now water that you don't need is going into your hot water boiler, on Yom Tov is not such a big deal, because on Yom Tov, you could use that water later for, you know, washing your hands or for washing your dishes or anything else you need on Yom Tov, right? Like, technically you're not using the water now that's going into the, but on Yom Tov, he says, not such a big deal. So, he notes that he's not totally sure that this is true, that Shavu'ot Chol Nefesh has changed, but he says there's enough sveikos that you can pile up that Shavu'ot Chol Nefesh has changed, possibly the Rambam, so he thinks fundamentally you're allowed to shower, you're probably allowed to shower, at least if there's a need, on Yom Tov. And a lot of Sfardi poskim go in that direction. What about Ashkenazi poskim? So at first glance, the halacha should be for Ashkenazim, that it is usur. Because even if you think the d'oraisa has changed, like the Rav, or like Rishon Zalman, that shovel chol nefesh has changed, and therefore heating up water for a bath is usur, we paskin the gzeres habalanin, right, gzeres merchas, still applies on Yom Tov in full force. And therefore, maybe you'd be allowed to heat up water for a aver bath, but you couldn't actually take a full shower on Yom Tov. That would be what you paskin for Ashkenazim. But there's a catch. And this is what Tully mentioned before. I put the summary for my Jachter in 20, not because I ran out of space, but because we did this 3 months ago. So I don't want to go through the whole sugi again, but I gave you the summary. But I'll summarize it outside first. We saw a few months ago the question of tevila in hot water on Shabbos, right? Are you allowed to use hot water in the mikvah on Shabbos, right? We saw this in Machlokas Achronim, right?
And this assumed it was heated up.
That's heated up before, right, on Shabbos. But meaning, the Gzeres HaBalonin apply, right? We're not talking about the Daraisa, because now, if you think Shavuot Chol Nefesh changed, so then the only question, according to Ashkenazim, is, does Gzeres HaBalonin forbid you from taking a hot shower on Yom Tov? By the way, in all of this, we meant hot showers, right? Cold showers are mutter, right?
Even on Shabbos?
Cold showers, right, ostensibly, right, are not under the problem of Gzeres HaBalonin. Right. Right? There might be other issues, but the Gzeres HaBalonin is a hot one.
Right.
Okay, so we saw in the context of a tefillah, a machlokes of whether you're allowed to go to a mikvah, which is heated up on Erev Shabbos. Are you allowed to go to it on Shabbos or not? So if you look at 20, I gave you the summary. So he says, the primary area of leniency is presented in the context of women immersing in a mikvah on Shabbat and Yom Tov evenings. Two major 18th century poskim, the Tshuvas Nevi Yehuda and the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, which we did see, forbid immersing in a mikvah whose water is heated even before Shabbos or Yom Tov. They permit immersion only in lukewarm water. So heter number one that we learn from the Nevi Yehuda is that Gzeres HaBalanin only applies to hot water. But cold water, we know, is mutter, and lukewarm water, poshrin, is halachically, according to the Nevi Yehuda and the Chacham Tzvi, considered cold water. So heter number one would be that according to the Ramah and the Hanami, you aren't allowed to take a hot shower on Yom Tov, but you're allowed to take a warm shower on Yom Tov because poshrin is considered cold, right? Now, how cold is cold? So, as I once heard from B'Shem Rabbi Eider, it's what he called luke cold, right? What is luke cold, right? Not lukewarm, luke cold, which is it's warm enough that it's not it's not comfortable, right? You take out the chill, right? So according to the Ramah, possibility one would just be, okay, take a shower on Yom Tov, which is luke cold, right? Or lukewarm, meaning not hot, right? Not hot, like, you know, not painful, but cool, right? A cool shower, which, to be fair, if we think about when we really feel a desire to take a shower on Yom Tov, it's usually either in the middle of the summer, right, Shavuos, in which case a cool shower is matova manayim, take a cool shower, it's fine. Or on a 3-day yontif, where, whatever, if we need, you know, you need a shower, you're just going to take a shower, so fine. So kula number one would be a lukewarm shower.
That logic may not apply based on what's written here. I mean, they may be talking about the science where you heat something up and you remove the source, and therefore it's becoming lukewarm. When you're talking about a shower, the source of heat is still there.
Correct.
So you're not necessarily talking about the same things here.
Right, correct. But if you've solved the Daraisa problem, it's only the Darabanan problem you have to deal with. And the Darabanan may only apply formally to hot water. You could distinguish, but remember, right? I mean, potentially you could just say, once you've solved the Daraisa problem, a lukewarm cold shower would be fine.
Okay, except the Rabbanan is based on the fear that someone might light a fire.
You're right. But
to warm it up.
Correct, but on Shabbos, right, you're right. You could distinguish and say, no, that's only water that was heated up before, right? If it's before and it's lukewarm.
And the source is removed.
Correct. But one possibility is to say, no, you could say that, or you could say, no, that formally, there's no problem once it's not hot. Because once it's not hot, it's not Gzeres HaBalanin. And if you're allowed to heat up the water on Yom Tov, you're allowed to heat up the water on Yom Tov. But you're right, Yesh Ladun, because you could say, well, maybe you still can't do it if it's heated up on Yom Tov. Okay. So that's one possibility. But then he notes, nonetheless, by the 19th century, the Tshuvas Divrei Chaim notes common practice is for women to immerse even on Shabbos and Yom Tov evenings in fully heated mikvahs, as approved by leading rabbinical authorities. Now, two reasons are offered to justify this practice. So, Rav Akiva permits bathing in hot water even on Shabbos if the water was heated prior to Shabbos in the case of great discomfort. So one hat there, that's not Rabbi Akiva. That was Rabbi Akiva something, and I just lost it. I think it was Rabbi Akiva Eger. I'm pretty sure that's Rabbi Akiva Eger. It's definitely not Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef. It is, I'm pretty sure, if I remember, it's Rabbi Akiva Eger. So one hat there is that Rabbi Akiva Eger says you're allowed to, the Gzeres HaBalanin is waived in cases of great discomfort. He believes that the edict was not intended to apply in such circumstances. Since women find it very difficult to immerse, even in lukewarm water, the edict does not apply. A second reason is that since the immersion for the sake of a mitzvah, the gzeirah was not issued in the case of the mitzvah. Now, the second heter is not going to help us for showers and yom tov, because nothing we're doing is at the level of mitzvah, of tefillah's mitzvah. But the first position of Rabbi Akiva Eger is a very good heter, because if you think the gzeirah habalanin doesn't apply in case of great discomfort, then we all know that by the end, in a hot Shavuos day, right, by the second day of Yantiv, if it's 3-day Yantiv going into Shabbos, right, that is great discomfort, right? No one wants to go into a 3-day, right, into a third day of a 3-day Yantiv without having showered in a summer day. Nobody, right? Bizman hazeh, that is great discomfort. And if you think Zeres HaBalanin is waived because of that, so then it would be mutter. So application to showering on Yom Tov. So he says one may combine the three lenient approaches regarding mikvah to showering on Yom Tov. If one is bathed in sweat on Yom Tov, such as from dancing in a hot room on Simchas Torah, then it's permitted to shower in lukewarm water. In such a situation, one is in great discomfort, meaning Rabbi Akiva Eger, which interferes with the mitzvah of rejoicing on Simchas Yom Tov, which is the other heter of Rabbi Akiva Eger, and therefore is justified in bathing in lukewarm water on Yom Tov, which is the position of Nodeb Yehuda. Indeed, Rabbi Yosef Adler reports that Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik permits showering on Yom Tov in at least such circumstances, even if the water is heated on Yom Tov. Since today bathing has become Shavu'ot L'Chol Nefesh, Herschel Schachter told me that he would also permit showers in at least such circumstances on Yom Tov. And then I just know the end, right? Schit issues, bar soap problems, etc. Would still apply. So lehalacha. So can Ashkenazim shower on Yom Tov? So, if you think that Shavu'ot L'Chol Nefesh didn't change, like some of the Achronim, then no, you can't shower on Yom Tov. It's Aser Midaraisa, right? But if you pass like the Rav and Rosh Hashanah Zalman under certain circumstances, then the Daraisa problem is waived. What about the Darabanan problem of showering? So, if you're an Ashkenazi and you pass like the Ramah, that the prohibition applies, so you what choices do you have? So either you could do what the Mishnah Berurah says is and take an Aver shower, right? You take a hot water shower with, but not entering under the stream of water. That should be mutter, according to Mishnah Berurah, with no questions whatsoever. If you're taking a full shower at hot water, so then, according to Ashkenazim, under normal circumstances, a full hot shower on Yom Tov is aser. Unless, if you paskin like Rabbi Akiva Eger, and you are in a case of great discomfort, so then, taking even a hot shower should be mutter, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger. If you take a lukewarm or lukecool shower, then according to what I heard from Ray Eider was in the case of the 9 days. I'm just applying it here. It may not actually be the same here. Maybe lukewarm means lukewarm, but let's assume a cool shower for safety, right? Just to be safe. According to the Nodeb Yehuda Chacham Tzvi, Gzeres HaBalanin doesn't apply by lukewarm water. So a hot bath would be aser, but a lukewarm one would be mutter on Yom Tov. And if you smell so much that it's not kavod yantif or kavod Shabbos to go into the third day of, you know, a 3-day yantif, all schwitzed up, then according to the other day of Rabbi Akiva Eger, it is going to be mutter. So Rabbi Jachter says, at least, that under normal circumstances, he would say, don't take a shower on Yom Tov. But if you're going to take it, if it's really uncomfortable, so then, once it's uncomfortable, you have one heter of Rabbi Akiva Eger. If you take a lukewarm rather than hot shower on Yom Tov, you have the second heter, you have the heter of the Nodeb Yehuda. And if it's going into another day of Yom Tov or another day of Shabbos, and you need it for Kavod Shabbos, Kavod Yom Tov, you have the other heter of Rabbi Akiva Eger. And therefore, he says, Lahalacha, Rav Shechter, and the Rav, Paskin this way, that at least when you're actually Shvitzi, right, then even an Ashkenazi could be Somech on this and take a shower with water heated up on Yom Tov, right? Right? And that would be that's the psak of Rosh Hashanah, that's the psak of the Rav. If you wanted to say it was Asur according to Ashkenazim, you'd have to reject one of these three positions or reject on the level of Daraisa and say that Shavuot Chol Nefesh doesn't change. From what I gather, right, Karapkin is Mekil, but I don't know which of these positions he takes. Is he always Mekil, or is he Mekil only when you're uncomfortable?
He can take any time, any Yom Tov, because people take it all the time. And
so that's the Daraisa question, but how did you deal with the Darabanan question?
I don't know. We have to look at his...
Okay, meaning there's a series of solutions he could pick. I don't know which one he picks. But just... Now we've seen all the positions of why you might say it's mutter under which circumstances, right? I don't know which one he actually takes. But again, so lehalacha, according to Sfardim, it's really, right, assuming you think Shavuot Chol Nefesh changed, it's mutter to take a shower. According to Ashkenazim, Gzeiras HaBalan applies, heterim, potential heterim is ever. In cases of discomfort, lukewarm water, or because of covered Shabbos, covered Yom Tov, any posek is going to have to pick one of those. Obviously, if you combine all three, it would be mutter for any Ashkenazi. And that's the way the Rav and Rav Shechter Paskin. I know that Reich Kropkin is Makel in some of these circumstances.
He's,
I don't know what.
He's Makel in this. Okay. I believe it's almost any case he would share. But what I don't understand is, how don't they distinguish between the source of heat used to heat up the water? In other words, whether you're using a douche or using gas water heater or electric, they're all different and they function differently and they're not.
Well, once you think Shavuot Chol Nefesh has changed and it's mutter,
but the electric works on two elements and one element
fire,
is off.
Right? He's still got light or fire on Yom Tov.
So correct, but most of ours aren't lighting a new fire. The fire is going to
electric. A gas furnace will have a pilot, but an electric furnace will keep him. And there's some
right, so this was a problem in Israel. Is that some of them,
when it's cloudy, they have an electric backup?
You're right. So that's the right. That was the shaila that people brought up. Right. That's really the right. Okay. Just the last problem. Right. Issue that halachically, you're right, is if it's an electric one which turns on a new fire, so then you might have a problem. But you have a problem there for anything, right? Because then you have a problem.
If you have electric and you do lukewarm all the time, then the bottom element, it has two elements. So one is on all the time, keeping water a certain temperature. The other one comes on when you have an influx of a lot of water and it turns on. So it's not on at all. It turns on completely in order to boost the heat of the tank. So that's how an electric one works. A gas has the pilot all the time. Gas isn't an issue. But electric is an issue. As far as I remember, electric's an issue on how it works. So if you had electric, you were supposed to not use a lot of water at a time, and always use lukewarm, so you never turn.
Okay, so that would be a different problem. You're right. If you have an electric one that you'd be causing a new fire, then this would all be
and on the
moot. If you have the electric back, we can turn off the electric backup.
Yeah, right.
Right. I mean, that's what we did. Like in Israel, you just you know.
There was a switch, right?
Right. For Yom Tov, you can just turn off the electric backup. Alternatively, Rav Rosen thinks that it's not a problem. Bechal.
Because it's not directly the...
Right, I mean, Rav Rosen thinks it's grumma. Not everyone agrees with him, but Rav Rosen thinks that because you're not turning on the fire, what you're doing is you're using water, beheter, and then if, you know, it goes under a certain point and the dude isn't working, then it'll trigger lighting a fire, but it's grumma because you're not doing it directly, so then he thinks it's mutter bechal.
At least in North America, if you're in an apartment building, right?
Because right, so an apartment is another possible heter, because at least in Israel, this won't really help you. If you're in a building full of Jews, it won't help you, but you're right. Meaning in North America, in a Hanami, right? Meaning in our apartment in the Heights, for sure, like it's, well, actually, no. In our apartment in the Heights, we asked Ray Neuberger, because it was like, it's very close to 50% of the building is from Jews. So you gotta like, but yes, potentially.
Maybe out of 50% of the water.
What? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you still have to take into account the heating element. I have no idea what I have in my house.
My parents, before they had, they replaced their furnace twice since they moved into the house. But the old furnace, that was the first one that replaced coal when they first installed the oil. What it had was it had a coil where the fire was very far away from where the water passed, and it was like the way they described the Chamei Tveri, where you had a pipe within a pipe that passes through and warmed the water. So it was a similar kind of thing that it would turn on Shabbos, but you couldn't, you didn't, but you really didn't have to say that the water was being warmed up
warmed up by the fire itself. Because the fire was warming up water in the furnace, but when new water was coming in, it was passing over another compartment. And
so it was indeed. Like it was like the water next to the hot plate.
Right. Yeah. Something like that.
Interesting. I'd have to think about that one.
When they used to use it on Shabbos, but then when they got it replaced, you know, they tried to get the same kind of thing replaced, but they couldn't.
Got it.
There wasn't even made.
Got it. Okay.
You want to put in the shul, and I.
What does it do?
It
like electrocutes it, and like
the heat is at the source.
Uh-huh.
It's each tap would have had each bathroom would have had its own
interesting. Okay. So I'm not poskening, but this lays out the explanation for everybody she does. And apparently Reich Kropkin is Makel. Well, we have to ask Reich Kropkin which these faras he's actually Makel on. I don't know which one he's
just go to kosher two billis in the last 3 minutes. He gives a summary.
Of why he's Makel. Okay, I'll try to find it.
He follows him.
I mean, when I listen to Shirim, I bet